Yo, what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton, a.k.a. Money Compton. This podcast is available on all platforms, wherever you're getting your podcast from. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. You can also find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also follow me on the Twitterverse at SPORTZBIZNESS. You can also email the show at sportsbusiness@gmail.com. Coming up on today's show, we are going to talk about how Aaron Rodgers maybe has brought any type of relevance to New York City football within the last 15 years. We'll also talk about some NCAA, and then we'll also talk about how it's hitting and not hitting. Also going to go into details about the Warriors and their downfalls. And then before we get up out of here, we'll definitely talk about the dummy of the day. But first things first, last Friday, I got to turn the time machine back and go back in my bag. Got to go on to my homeboy, one of my dear, dear good friends who covers the Houston Rockets, Astros, Texans, really anything H-Town sports related down there in the 281, my man Brian Bearfield. Thanks a lot again for having me on with Sports Talk with Big Sarge. Guest that show every week, and it's available on all platforms. Had a really, really good time. We got to chop it up about a lot of things, as far as from the Las Vegas Raiders and their downfalls, as far as a little bit of NBA and everything in between. So it was really, really good to do that. Had a great time. And if you didn't catch me on there, make sure you hit the like and subscribe button on that show, and you can hear what I had to say about some other things that I usually don't get to cover on this show. So go ahead and check that out. I think you'll like it, and make sure you know, hit the like and subscribe button to my man Brian as well. BB does a good job as far as covering the Rockets. I mean, let's keep it real. Really, since James Harden has left the Rockets, the Rockets have been somewhat of a non-existent team as far as the national limelight. So he does a pretty good job as far as his pieces that he does after every game that is published on, I believe, USA Today as well. So anyways, want to give my man his flowers, and he will be on the show really, really soon. But anyways, like I said, we're going to talk about this Aaron Rodgers. So it was last week where I guess Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show, and I guess he does his weekly segment there. And he talked about how he is going to the New York Jets, or he wants to play for the New York Jets. Nothing has really been official tissue, but it looks like all roads are leading to either he plays for the Jets or he's going to retire. As of this recording, no deal has been done for Aaron Rodgers to go to the New York Jets. But I got to thinking, man. You know, one thing that BB and I actually talked about, not on the show in particular, but we had this conversation. He thinks that Aaron Rodgers going to the New York Jets does not make them a Super Bowl contender. And I thought they probably are maybe outside of the Chiefs, Bills, Jags, Bengals. I know I'm forgetting some other teams out there right now. The Dolphins. Outside of those teams, you kind of got to put the New York Jets in there. You got to think about this, y'all, last year. They were almost within the playoffs with Jose Flacco, White Mike, or Mike White. What's that quarterback's name? I think it's Mike White. And Zach Wilson. That's basically equivalent of no quarterbacks. And they almost went to the playoffs with a stellar defense, a great running game before Breece Hall got hurt. You got a all-pro, I think, rookie of the year in the wide receiver in Garrett Wilson. And then you also got a all-pro first team / defensive rookie of the year in Sauce Gardner. so you got all these different pieces that makes basically got the New York Jets to kind of almost be within the playoffs without a quarterback. You had a functioning quarterback in there who's highly motivated to try to get something going. And you got the New York Jets possibly being, you know, I would put them in there as far as maybe, it's hard to say. I think I got them ahead of the Jags, but and that's based off if they can get Aaron Rodgers. So I thought about it and I was like, man, when is the last time New York City football has been relevant? What is that, 2011 when the New York Giants won the Super Bowl? And yeah, okay, you can bring in last year's Giants team, like they made the playoffs, but it was a cool story, but it wasn't like, oh man, everyone's talking about New York City. Everybody's more on the, man, what they doing around here? So outside of that, you can maybe think of Odell Beckham. But even then, Odell Beckham was just a player. It wasn't necessarily team. And you thinking about, you know, when Brett Favre got there in 08, like I said, that's almost 15 years or so ago. So I say that to say that I think Aaron Rodgers is going to bring some relevance to New York City football. Like I said, they probably haven't had it since like maybe 2011. It's probably the best time I can think of to be like, yeah, that was a team that everybody talked about. And rightfully so. One thing for sure is, how's he going to... One thing about New York is, New York is a national team. You know, it's a national follow team. It's a national market. Green Bay was a national market, but still gave you a local vibe. So they didn't really beat up on Aaron Rodgers when they were having a case of the lemon booty like they did last year. It was more of the, hey, it's the Green Bay Packers, and we're going to talk about what's wrong with them, as opposed to holding the Green Bay Packers accountable, and more particular Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's going to have that slack when he gets to the New York media. Yes Network and MSG Network, the Michael K Show and all the boys down there in Radio Row down there in New York City, they're going to have a field day if they start having seen Aaron Rodgers start crumbling like a stale cookie. And I don't know if he's ready for that. So it's going to be really, really interesting. But I do think that he does bring some type of relevance back to the New York City football market, which is good. Now you got the Giants that are trying to rebounce back from a feel-good story last year. And then you got now the New York Jets who, I mean, let's keep it real. They have a shot. They legitimately have a shot. So I thought about that, and I thought about talk about it on this show. So email the show. Let me know if you think Aaron Rodgers is going to make some noise out there in the Jets. I think he is. I think that they have a legitimate shot of making it to the Super Bowl just based off the fact that they have a great running game and a great stellar defense. Now, if I am the Jets and I do plan on somehow making this move happen, I'm definitely going to try to bolster up this offensive line. You definitely need some help on the tackles, and getting tackles on the open market is not something free. So you're definitely going to have to try to see if you can draft them. Hopefully they can play up to get up to speed and they can hold it down, because tackles really in NFL, that's almost, I would almost consider that a skill position in today's day and age of football. It's not what your 300-400 pound dudes back in the day, just coming out of the gut truck at your cafeteria, just being able to roll up. Like, that is a skill position, and it is a special type of talent to be able to protect your quarterback's blind side. So if they can get their act together on the offensive side of the ball, offensive line, yeah, I definitely have some, I definitely got my hopes in them. More than the Bills, and just because of the Bills, I feel like, you know, you saw with Brian Daboll going to the Giants, how much of a regression, I'm not going to say a setback, my man Josh Allen had last year, but you can definitely see that there were some chinks in the armor. And with him being basically the running back, they definitely need to address that situation. They definitely need to get a running back. They also need to bolster up that offensive line just a tad bit. And possibly, you know, with the secondary, with my man having that cardiac arrest on the field, you definitely got a couple of different things that they're going to have to patch up on the defensive side of the ball. So I definitely think if you're going to get Aaron Rodgers, I think that's going to make them probably a tie. I put them the Dolphins, Jets just by a hair, and then the Bills. And we'll go from there. Now, switching gears. This weekend was the first opening round of the NCAA tournament. I know I went on this show last week and I said I didn't watch too much college basketball this year, and that how college basketball has just been one huge flop house. I still stand by that, and I was actually able to watch, some games. And two things that drove me crazy was, one, everyone wants to bang on how long it takes for baseball games to end, but has anybody ever realized how long does it take for college basketball to wrap up a game? I was watching, I believe it was Pittsburgh against Xavier, and I felt like the last 10 minutes of the game probably took about 30 minutes to end. And it was like putting nails on a chalkboard, dreadful. The fact that, like I said, it took 30 minutes to end a game that ended in 10 minutes, I want to say, I think Pitt was down by 8 with about 2 minutes to go. They started doing the whole intentional foul thing. Then next thing you know it, I want to say the team that makes the ball, that makes the bucket, they're able to call a timeout. So they're able to call a timeout, set up their defense, all this other hoofla. Like, that is the number one rule that the NCAA needs to change today. there should be no reason why the team that makes a bucket can call a timeout. That needs to go away as of yesterday. Nothing drives me more crazier than that rule right there. Second of all, there is way too many timeouts. One thing about the NBA that I give them credit to is that they kind of addressed that situation as far as the games being a little prolonged. Now, I believe going into the fourth quarter, I think you used to be able to carry over, I want to say, 4 timeouts into that fourth quarter. If you don't use that extra timeout going into the fourth quarter, you lose it. I think college basketball needs to do it because they got way too many damn timeouts. Just way too many. Also, the TV breaks as well. So I think the first national TV break mandatory is after 14 minutes, either 16 or 14 minutes. You need to bring that down to about 15 minutes. There's too much stopping. What I'm trying to get to is there's too much stoppage in play. The game is not free flowing. And it was just really, really hard to watch. And then also, there's no such thing as blue bloods in college no more. I saw Kansas, who won the championship last year, Duke, Kentucky, and another team. Oh, North Carolina's not in it. So you basically have all of your blue bloods sitting out. And I don't know about y'all, but yeah, the little engine that could, like the Princeton, that's the 15 seed that beat the number two seed. I saw a 16 seed beat Purdue, but from the little bit that I didn't know about college basketball this year is that Purdue and the Big Ten was just lemon booty all year long. So Purdue was trash, so I wasn't surprised by that. And you have all of these teams that are really just, Furlough, I don't even know the name, team's name, that beat Virginia, I believe. You want to see your blue bloods. You want to see your big market, your true teams that are usually juggernauts in win. Now the fact that you got now this, especially this year in particular, where you have, I believe it's Alabama who is the overall number one ranked team, and I don't know if y'all been watching the news, but Alabama, as far as basketball this season, it ain't been their year. You got Brandon Miller, who's possibly the only player that I have seen in this tournament that I'm like, oh, okay, he ready for the league. The key thing about Brandon Miller is he got some issues. He ain't got the most squeakiest clean record going on right now, and it's gonna be very, very interesting to see if let's just say Alabama wins. It's going to be very interesting to see how CBS is going to cover this. CBS is just getting into the game. ESPN has been, they do college basketball pretty much all year long. I think all season long. CBS don't get in the game until now. And if you haven't been watching any of this college basketball games, like, it is very, very just reading off the cue card. Oh, Brandon Miller has had, yada, yada, yada. I think in the SEC championship game, I think he had a triple-double where they really couldn't talk about how much of a big deal it was because, I mean, he's got this dark cloud covering up. And let's just say he does. Let's just say, like I said, Alabama does win the championship. He'll probably more than likely be the MVP of the tournament. It's going to be really, really hard to see how Jim Nance is going to try to strictly put this only basketball related when he has this other issue that is a big deal because someone has literally died out of this case. You had a teammate that was dismissed in Darius Miles. You got my man Brandon Miller allegedly brings the weapon, drives the car to his teammate who does the unfortunate situation where he kills someone or he's been indicted for murder. You got all these things going around, and now he's kind of somewhat off of a technicality rule where if this happened in another state, he probably would be, the charges would have been brought up as an accomplice to a murder. Got all this stuff going on. Alabama, this is their year, which, I mean, I get it. This is their only time they're probably going to be in contention for a national championship. So they kind of just turned the other cheek and was like, nope, we're going to ride with what we got and we'll worry about it on the back end. But the thing about it on the back end is if this is your only storyline of this year's NCAA tournament, it don't look good. And there's been rumors that during this tournament, Brandon Miller's had to walk around with armed security because he's been getting death threats. He's at the free throw line, they're mocking. I'm not gonna say they're making a mockery, but they're chanting "lock him up," which makes me think about the victim. Is that the victim's family now that the unfortunate person who's lost their life, now they're saying lock him up and all this other stuff. Like, how do you think that makes them feel? That their lost loved one is now being named after a chant at a college basketball game. So it's very, very, very cringe to watch college basketball this year. It's very, very cringe on this NCAA. Like, this tournament, it's cool. It's cool if you like money, if you like to bet on the little underdog people, which is cool. That's a cute story that, you know, you had a 13, 15, and a 16 seed all advance. I think Princeton even won their second round game, if I'm not mistaken. So they're going off to the Sweet 16. It's cool, but when you got people who don't watch a lot of college basketball, who want to watch and tune in during the NCAA tournament, and you really don't have too many players that you can identify to say, hey, this is the player that you want to look out for coming into the NBA draft, you got a problem. And when the college basketball realizes or not, whether you want to say that I'm just a novice when it comes to the college basketball world, that's cool. But for me as a consumer, I haven't found any of it entertaining. The product has been bad. The storylines have been terrible. I got a whole bunch of players where I'm looking at them and I'm saying, I don't think I have seen more than maybe one or two players where I'm like, oh, that dude's going to be a star coming up in the NBA, coming up next fall. Just don't see it. Don't see it happening. And unless something changes, you know, good luck, because you got the one and done rule. It's pretty much going to be a thing in the past. I believe next year, I think, is when the NBA is going to start letting 18-year-olds back in the league. So maybe that'll change things around. But the old college portal, that hasn't helped. And I'm going to be honest, like I said, college basketball, it just has not been entertaining at all. So that was my two cents off this weekend's basketball. It was cool. There was a couple of cool. I like Miami. I like Houston. But other than that, like, I'd rather watch paint dry. So there it is that. Now, Saturday, also this Saturday, somebody hit me up and was asking me, was I going to watch the Memphis Cubs against the Golden State Warriors? And I said, no. I went out to dinner, went on a date with my daughter and my wife over the weekend. And they said, well, why not? I was like, one, I'm going on a date with my wife and my little girl. And two, I already know the Warriors are about to lose. And the reason why I already knew that is because no matter what is going on, the Warriors just this year, they just ain't been able to get it clicking. What if for whatever reason why? I don't know if it stems from the whole Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole at the beginning of the season. I don't know if, just like I said on Brian's show this past weekend, this past Friday, I don't know if it's the fact that they just got too greedy and they tried to mortgage off. They tried to save their for the future and also try to win now when they should have just went all in right now and try to get maybe one or two more championships out the way. And then you just going to have to figure it out on the back end. That's probably what I would have done. But the fact that they were trying to be a little bit more, I would say, too smart for their own good. And it has literally bit them in the butt. Now, did I think that they had a chance of beating the the Hawks the previous night? Yeah, I thought they should have beat the Hawks, but they didn't. But again, they're on the road. So I don't know what's going on with this team. But I do know this. Warriors fans, if you think that Gary Payton and Andrew Wiggins is going to just come walk in the door and just save the day, y'all need to go ahead and submit a drug sample and try to figure out what kind of rehab facility you might need to check into, because it ain't happening. It ain't happening. Whatever Andrew Wiggins has got going on, I hope that he is okay. I hope that his family is okay. And some of y'all need to chill out on coming up with these conspiracy theories. Just chill out. When the Warriors are ready, they'll say it. When Andrew Wiggins is ready, he'll come out and say it. But in the meantime, he ain't coming back. He ain't playing. It don't look like he's playing anytime soon. And y'all gonna have to figure it out. Granted, Andrew Wiggins did cover up a lot of holes last year in the playoffs. It ain't happening this year. There's just, the bench is terrible. Last year, you had guys like Otto Porter, Gary Payton II, and Andre Iguodala coming off the bench. I'm trying to think who else came off the bench last season. Oh, and Damian Lee and Juan Toscano-Anderson. So you had a bench full of veterans. This year, they tried to go younger with, they thought James Wiseman was going to be a good deal. They thought Jonathan Kuminga could take that leap. They thought Jordan Poole, who is having a slight setback year. Moses Moody, I don't even know how he's still on the team, honestly. I'm really, really shocked that they didn't shed his contract to try to get at least a couple of second-round draft picks to come back. Because Moses Moody, Lord have mercy. Like, come on, bro. So you look at this bench. Jamichael Green has been in and out of the lineup. Dante DiVincenzo has had to be elevated up to starting lineup, come back down to the bench. So starting lineup, he's been in and out of the lineup as far as going into the starting lineup as opposed to coming off of the bench. Too much confusion for him where he's been a career coming off the bench type of dude. It's not a knock on him. He's done a great job filling in whenever you need to fill in, especially after that, since the second half of the season has begun. He's actually been able to find his niche with the team. My thing about the Warriors is they don't play no type of defense at all. Like, their defense is just, I've seen 7-8-year-olds play better defense than this. And the zone defense that Mike Brown was able to install last year is not working this year. I don't know what Steve Kerr, I don't know if Steve Kerr's just lost his touch with this team. I don't know if they're not listening to Kenny Atkinson. I don't know if Daryl Armstrong is getting these boys to listen. I don't know what the hell's going on, but you can clearly see this team is disconnected at all different joints. And ain't nobody going to save these people. And honestly, it's probably best if they just save face and maybe, I don't know. They're probably going to be in the play-in game at best. If they can hold on to the top 8 seed, that means they'll play the 7 seed, which right now is the Warriors. But I think the 8 seed is the OKC Thunder, which who thought they was going to do that when they thought they were going to be tanking this year? So you'll probably lose that, and then you'll probably lose to the Lakers. So I don't know what the Warriors plan on doing this offseason, but they need to figure out next year. They might as well just start planning for next season. So who do you want to move? What is the moves that you want to make? Do you keep Andrew Wiggins? Do you keep Jordan Poole? Do you keep Draymond Green's up for a new contract at the end of the season? The Warriors going to have to answer a lot of questions, but right now, go ahead and just nail it in. They'll be out in the round. They'll be out in the first round. I don't think that they are better than Phoenix, Sacramento, Denver, and dare I even say this, I don't even know if they're better than the Lakers right now. That's how much I'm not gonna say I'm all the way off the boat. I'm gonna ride this boat to the water run out. But the Warriors ain't making no noise this season. We can go ahead and just nail it in as far as a back to back. So if you're not gonna be able to make a championship run, because now at this point the Warriors they're gonna have to play all of their, they don't have any home court advantage. So you're really a team that has won 7 games and has lost 11 games on the road. They've only won 7 games on the road and have lost 11 straight, the last 11 road games they've lost. I'm going to name you all some teams that have worst or same road records than the Warriors. The Spurs only got 6 wins. The Rockets only got 6 wins. And the Detroit Pistons only got 7 wins. So you're telling me, out of all the other teams, the Golden State Warriors are sitting there at the bottom of the barrel, bottom of the deck, with a whole bunch of teams that have already been eliminated from playoff contention. You're telling me that the Hornets, Magic, the Blazers, Pelicans, and the Jazz all got better records on the road than you do? That's a bad look. And like I said, I don't know what Steve Kerr is going to be able to do this year, but it's not good at all. So yeah, go ahead and nail it in. I hate to say it, but they got to figure it out, and they're going to have to retool. And if I was them, I would shed as much of the young talent as you can. Try to bring in some veterans. Try to get in if Joe Lacob is ready to go back that Brinks truck up and keep paying that luxury tax, it would behoove him to do so. Because this whole trying to get the young guys ready is going to have to... It's not working. You can't do it for a third year. So we'll see about that. But before we get up out of here, we definitely got to talk about the dummy of the day. And it stems back to the Golden State Warriors. And like I said, I didn't watch the game on Saturday, but Klay Thompson, bruh. We get it, man. You got 4 rings. We understand. But you ain't like, if right now all you can do is just keep walking around saying, I got four against Dylan Brooks. Bro, what are you doing, man? Like, worry about what y'all doing right now. Nobody cares about what y'all did last season. Nobody cares. And to be honest with you, ain't nobody really gunning for you because you only got 7 wins on the road. Who wants to be better? Who wants to say, oh yeah, we want to be like the Warriors this year? Nobody wants to be like the Warriors this year. I just named you teams that have worse road records than the Warriors. And all them dudes ain't even in the playoffs. So the fact that Klay Thompson is still, I'm not going to say popping off at the mouth, about what you've done in the past, get out of here, dude. Get out of here. Let's talk about how y'all ain't winning. Jack Diddley pull in the row. How y'all are just so disconnected with each other. And how the season has just been a lost cause. You out here getting smoked by the Memphis Cubs, who they don't even have their best player. But for some reason, when John Morant is not in their lineup, they've been able to be above 500 over the last 2 years for whatever reason that he's not been in the lineup. I think last year they went 13-7 or something. Or no, it wasn't 13-7. They went... They've gone like a combined 27-13 when Clarence from 8 Mile is not in the lineup. Figure it out. This team, Klay Thompson, you are doing way too much talking. And granted, you're having a great season, but you're doing way too much talking for my liking, where you running around laughing and this and that. There's no urgency. You out here, you know, counting how many rings you got. For what? Why? What does that have to do with y'all losing to the Memphis Grizzlies 131-113? Why are you giving up 131 points to the Memphis Cubs, who don't even have their best player, and they got a whole bunch of goons that are running around here? Like, it just doesn't make sense. You gave up another boatload of points the night before against the Atlanta Hawks, who all they got is Trey the Barge. So the Warriors, they are going to get the dummy of the day because they're doing way too much talking for a team that ain't produced nothing this season. This season has been a lost cause, but yet they still trying to hold on to what they did in the past. Nobody cares. It's what have you done for me lately? It ain't what you did yesterday. It's what you can do today and tomorrow. And right now, y'all can't win on the road, and y'all still worry about, oh yeah, we got our four though. We got our four. Nobody cares right now. So the Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson, you definitely get the dummy of the day. And I can't wait for this season to be over. Actually, for them, it'll probably be over. Playing start on April 11th, so they probably got about 2 more weeks. And we can go ahead and just nail this disastrous season shut and just table this one for next season. So, once again, you've been listening to the Sports Business Podcast. I am your host, Eric Compton, a.k.a. Money Compton. This podcast is available on all platforms. Wherever you're getting your podcast from, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. You can find me on Instagram at Money Compton. You can also email the show. And email the show, let me know what college, you know, how bad did your bracket, when did you lose your brackets? I'm pretty sure your brackets probably got busted after the first, I don't know, 16 games. So email the show at sportsbusiness@gmail.com. You can also find me on the Twitterverse at sportsbusiness. We do the show once a week. You can catch me on all different platforms to find the show. So make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. Anything less than 5 stars, you are a bona fide J-Cat. Until then, we will do this show next week. Other than that, we are out.